We're going to double down on our passion for history as we explore the past with courage. We strongly believe that history can be the most powerful and eye-opening source of entertainment, and our teams believe that history can help us better understand the world that we live in, as so many elements from the past still resonate with our present. Mark Alexi Cote, 2022. Hello, I'm Andrew, and I want to welcome you to Visions of the Past, a podcast all about the lore of Assassin's Creed. This is episode 110, and today we're going to take a look at the announcements from September's Assassin's Creed Showcase and what they can mean for the lore of the series. There are a couple things I want to shout out that we didn't see before getting into what we did see and what those things can mean for the lore. The biggest things that we didn't hear about was Tombs of the Fallen Part 2, which, by the time you're hearing this, it has been released, a crossover between Origins and Valhalla, and we also didn't hear about a remake of the first Assassin's Creed. Are these things still happening? I don't know. I don't have sources within Ubisoft, and I'll leave the reporting and all of that stuff to others who have more information than I do. So what will we be talking about today? Today, I'll be talking about the last chapter in Eivor's life within Assassin's Creed Valhalla, Assassin's Creed codename Jade, Assassin's Creed codename Red, Assassin's Creed codename Hexe, and Assassin's Creed Mirage, and how these titles can fit into the series lore based on what we currently know and the real-world history of these games' time periods. So let's start with Eivor's last chapter. It's unknown how many years this story takes place in, and how many years after what we've already seen. But what we do know is that it will involve Eivor continuing her story as a sage and dealing with the memories of Odin, and that this will eventually lead her to her final resting place in Vinland. And there really isn't much more that can be said about it, because there really isn't anything else known. Up next, we're going to talk about the AAA mobile game developed by Tencent that is currently going by codename Jade. Not a lot was said about this other than it would be set in 215 BC in China and that you can create your own character. Before getting into the setting and what happened historically, I have one question. If we are creating our own character, where do the historic memories come from? With that being said, let's take a look at the setting. China, 215 BC. At this point in time, China was ruled by Qin Shi Huang, the first emperor of the Qin dynasty, and he has been on the Chinese throne for roughly 6 years. It was also during this year that he sent General Meng Tian on a military campaign against the Xiongnu, who were being led at that time by Taoman. This campaign makes the most sense for the background of the story, as it was stated by Mark Alexi Cote that we would be able to climb all over the Great Wall of China. But we also have to mention that there was a campaign against the Bayou going on at the time as well, but this campaign was being led by General Meng Wu, and it was going on in the south of the empire. While we might hear about this campaign in the story, I think it's unlikely that we'll see a lot of it, as this campaign ended in 241 BC, a year after the date we were given. Within the series, there has been a few mentions of this time period, the biggest being the death of Qin Shi Huang on September 10th, 210 BC, 5 years after the setting that was given. Depending on how many years we see in the game, we could meet the assassin Wei Yu, who has a statue within the sanctuary of the Villa Auditore. Or we could even be reliving his memories. With everything that we do know about this game, I feel that I can say that we'll be dealing a lot with the aftermath of the Warring States period of China, and possibly even the start of the fall of the Qin dynasty. The next two games don't have a ton known about them right now. Codename Red and Codename Hexe. We do know that they'll be launched through the Infinity Hub, which will hold the modern-day story and act as an entrance point for the past, present, and future of Assassin's Creed. if this also includes the transmedia, that is yet to be announced. But I think it'd be cool to see areas where we could read comics or novels or jump right into the Netflix series or even the movie that starred Michael Fassbender. First thing that we're going to talk about is Codename Red. The game's development is being led by Ubisoft Quebec with Jonathan Dumont as creative director. Marc-Alexis Cote did mention this game would allow players to live a shinobi fantasy and would be an RPG-style game like Origins, Odyssey, and Valhalla before it. While I've not seen a formal announcement of the time period, the only thing I've seen has been rumors floating around about the setting of the game being sometime between Assassin's Creed and Assassin's Creed 2. If this is true, it puts the game sometime between 1191 and 1476. In Japanese history, that would put the game in either the Kamakura period or the Muromachi period. There are a lot of things that this 284-year stretch could encompass, like the Jokyu Rebellion in 1221 or the Mongol invasion led by Kublai Khan in 1274 and 1281 during the Kamakura period, or the Odin War in 1467, or even the arrival of the Portuguese in 1543 within the Muromachi period. I think it's most likely, though, that we're going to end up closer to the end of the Muromachi period, during a time that is often called the Sengoku period. There are a few reasons why I do think this. First is the fact that this period is shown within Assassin's Creed Memories, with the historical characters of Hattori Hanzo, Oda Nobunaga, among others. It even shows Nobunaga being in possession of a Sword of Eden. This time period is rife with war. But after the Siege of Osaka in 1615, early in the Edo period, the country settled into relative peace. There is also the idea that Marc-Alexis Cote stated about leaning more into history and living the shinobi fantasy. And it's during the Sengoku period where historical documents referred to stealthy soldiers as shinobi. Of course, Assassin's Creed could take liberties with the history and push a date farther back, especially with references to shinobi dating back to 4th century with the semi-legendary prince Yamamoto Takeru. Next on our list is Codename Hexe. This game's development is being led by Ubisoft Montreal, with Clint Hawking as creative director. Marc-Alexis Cote stated that this was going to be a different kind of game. What that exactly means is anyone's guess. But based on the way the assassin symbol was made, along with Hexe being German for witch, and the use of the alphabet of the Magi, it makes it seem to me that this game is going to be some kind of horror game, but that, of course, is just speculation on my part. Since I'm already speculating on the game, it does seem to me that this information, along with a rumor of a game being set within the Holy Roman Empire, means that Hexe could be set during one of that country's many witch trials. For those of you who don't know, the Holy Roman Empire wasn't really considered its own country until Otto I was crowned Roman Emperor in 962, as the title of Roman Emperor had sat with either Frankish or Italian kings before that point. And it wasn't until 1806 that the empire dissolved with the abdication of Francis II in 1806. At its height, the empire was composed of four kingdoms, Germany, Italy, Bohemia, and Burgundy, in what is now parts of Germany, France, Italy, Switzerland, Austria, and other European nations. As for what year we could see, it's hard to tell exactly, as witchcraft was categorized as a crime in 1532, and the last person charged with witchcraft was in 1782. Add to this range the fact that all the trials during this time and in this country were the most extensive in the world in terms of how many trials there were and how many people were executed. If I were to try to narrow down the time, I'd probably put it to one of the four largest trials in German history. The Trier witch trials, that were from 1581 to 1593. The Fulda witch trial from 1603 to 1606. The Würzburg witch trials from 1625 to 1631. and the Bamberg witch trials from 1627 to 1632. The smallest of these four witch trials saw 250 people executed. And last but not least, we have Assassin's Creed Mirage, the game we know the most about. But I won't get into game mechanics that have been announced. And let's be honest, at this point, they've been covered by multiple outlets over the last 3 or 4 weeks, and I won't cover what we already know about Basim, as that's a podcast in itself, which you can already listen to on this channel. But there are two things about Basim that have been mentioned that I do want to bring up, though. One is that there are two modern-day segments, one at the beginning and one at the end. With how Valhalla ends with him in the modern day and wanting to talk to the current mentor, William Miles, it makes sense that we would be getting into the Animus to learn what his true intentions are. And then, when his story is over, for us to come out and see what the modern day assassins have to say about it. The other thing I want to bring up is that in the historic setting, Basim will be accompanied by an Eastern Imperial Eagle that will have much the same abilities that Sinu, Ikaros, and Sunin had in their respective games. This eagle is named Inkindu, and much like the other birds, takes their name from a legendary figure in mythology, this time being Enkindu, the king of the Uruk and friend of Gilgamesh of Mesopotamian mythology. The rest of what we will be talking about, though, is the setting of Baghdad, circa 860, and the castle of Alamut. The biggest thing about Baghdad at this time is that it was going through a period of extreme instability, known as Anarchy at Samarra. While we won't see Samarra in the game, it was the capital of the Abbasid Caliphate at this time, and Baghdad would have felt the ramifications of this period, where multiple caliphs were leading the caliphate over the period of the 860s. One thing about this period that sticks out to me is the moment when Caliph al-Musta'in fled to Baghdad in 865, and the Turkish military that didn't help him installed al-Mu'taz as caliph, and then quickly laid siege to Baghdad, leading to a civil war that lasted about a year. And it led to al-Musta'in formally abdicating and al-Mu'taz being acknowledged as caliph within Baghdad. This time period also puts us about 100 years into the Islamic Golden Age, meaning that we could see numerous historic scholars of philosophy, mathematics, and science everywhere in the game, specifically within the renowned House of Wisdom. As for the Castle of Alamut, this castle was being constructed during this time and was reportedly done sometime before 879 when Falad was sent to host a council of the Hidden Ones there. There are two other interesting things that happened at this castle during its history, though. Historically, this castle was taken over by Hasan al-Saba in 1090 and was used as the capital of the Nizari Ismaili state, and formed the Order of the Assassins as its military group. What exactly this historical event means for the lore of Assassin's Creed isn't really known at this point, but this is usually seen as the point when the Hidden Ones converted into the Brotherhood of Assassins. The other major reason that Alamut is important within the lore of Assassin's Creed is that this is the location that Altair ibn La'ahad and his family sought refuge after Abbas Sofan took control of the Levant Brotherhood of Assassins. Altair stayed here for roughly 20 years, and it was during this time that he learned how to make things like the Hidden Gun from the Apple of Eden, and he also found an Isu temple beneath the castle, and it was here that he found the 6 memory seals that he eventually used as keys to the library that he had built in Masyaf. This part is particularly interesting to me, because if Alamut is being constructed during Mirage, will we see portions of this temple or the memory seals in the game? My guess is no, because from what we've been told so far is that Alamut won't be open for exploration. But that doesn't necessarily mean we won't hear about these things. We were given so much information just from the teases we saw at the showcase that, if I'm honest, I'm excited to see how different Mirage is going to end up being from Valhalla, and exactly how Infinity will work. Not to mention how Jade will play and how that story will work from the customization aspect, as well as being so far before the Hidden Ones were created. Hexay has me interested as well, because I like the idea that it's going to be something new and different within Assassin's Creed. Red, though, is the one that I'm least excited for, because it's already being said that it's continuing the RPG format, and supposedly will be supported for as long, if not longer, than Valhalla. And because I'm tired of this format at this time, even with the setting being feudal Japan. I'm just tired of the bloated RPG format that we have right now. But what are your thoughts on what we saw in the showcase and what these settings could mean for the lore of Assassin's Creed? Let me know on Twitter at visions_AC. And I want to thank you for joining me today. Be sure to tune in next time for even more about the lore of Assassin's Creed. If you love stories about Assassin's Creed lore, please tell your friends to follow this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting platform. And if you want to support this podcast and help provide for new episodes, visit my Linktree at linktr.ee/visionsofthepast for links to my Twitter, TikTok, and other social channels, as well as information on how you can support this podcast. Until next time, my assassin friends, make sure to follow the creed. And to those Templars listening, may the Father of Understanding guide you.